Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-hosts, Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma, with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. I am your co-host, Scott Fullerton. It is Thursday, March 3rd, and welcome aboard. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm really happy to be here, Scott. This is such a great day, and I love our guest today. This is going to be exciting.
We have a fantastic guest today. Paul Richmond is an artist renowned across the country and the world, has his own personal coming out story, but he has created this organization called You Will Rise to deal with bullying, and that's going to be our subject today. I mean, bullying has been addressed quite a bit, but I think through the Healing Stigma program, I think we have a great opportunity to meet this head on.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the great thing. He's got his new collection, the new one, War Paint, is just so exciting. This is an artist who's also inspiring others to express themselves. I mean, Paul is, these conversations that we're having on Healing Stigma are so wonderful, but this is someone that I just his work absolutely turns me on. His story is amazing. And again, the story behind You Will Rise really got me as well with his art teacher. So I got so many questions, Scott, and you know that's going to mean I'm interrupting in my old ways, but it usually means we have a really fun and lively conversation.
It's going to be fantastic. And we've just been getting such great response. We want to thank all you listeners out there. We've had great response to the first two shows. Loved having the fantastic Rachel Griffith, the very first episode, all about dealing with mental health stigma. And then last week, Rob Watson, just fantastic, talking all about single parenting and being a single gay parent. And it was just a couple of great shows, and I'm so honored to have Paul just continue that tradition today.
And, you know, March is going to be such a great month for other guests coming up. And then, of course, we've got a big, huge one in April. And, the phone has been ringing, the emails, please write in. If it's on the chat room, we just want to hear from you, because more and more people means this conversation is being heard and happening across more tables and, aisles or whatever. It means there's more understanding out there. Again, positive talk, positive results. That's what we're about. And, Scott, hats off to you. You just keep coming up time and time again with these cross relationships. I'm really, you know, it's really interesting where left of straight the whole entire program has gone, and that's thanks to you, my friend.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and I'm so excited. I mean, you've just been a blessing to me to have this. It's been a real interest of mine, and it just dovetails so perfectly with all the great work you're doing. And we are going to have a couple of great months where you and I are talking about people. Did you happen to see the Oscars this past weekend?
I took little peeks in between working. I had a busy weekend. I had a bit of stardom for my poetry. But yes, I did peek. So go ahead, ask away.
Well, one of the showstoppers of the evening was Lady Gaga's song that was nominated, Till It Happens to You. And you and I have been talking privately, of course, on who some of our great guests would be. But this song, having to do with the stigma of college, especially college date rape and everything through the movie it was in, it was such a powerful performance. Everyone was on their feet. There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
No.
And it just brings me so excited when we're going to have Margaret Cho on in April. Just if we could, we need to get the rights to the song, no matter what. But just if anyone's out there in Radio Land, I really believe in the power of positive thinking. Anyone knows Lady Gaga, let us know, because that was just such an incredible, moving performance, and it just dovetails into our work so fantastic.
And you know, it's right on the heels of her Star Spangled Banner at the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, she's had show-stopping moments, don't get me wrong, but yes, anybody out there that can get us within telephone conversation for that moment, because what she's been doing her whole entire career, but she's really bringing it together and, you know, making a statement with art, making, which obviously Paul is about today, which I try to do with my poetry, which we do here with conversations, you know, again, if it's Rachel, if it's Rob and others to come, Margaret, I can't wait to ask her how she uses humor to deal with things that are obviously very, very painful, but that makes the conversation start. You know, so any of those things. But what Lady Gaga has done in these past two performances, wow. You know what I'm saying? It's like I've been a fan of hers ever since she started. But then these past two are like it's like someone who steps up, points to the wall in Fenway, and then hits it way, way, way beyond where they pointed. So I'm a huge fan and would love to at least send our respect. And, yeah, we're a phone call away to talk about what she's going to be doing and what she wants to do next. And it's Healing Stigma.
Definitely. But let's go ahead and go to the artist of the hour. I'm so excited to have Paul Richmond on, and he's waiting on the phone for us now. While we get him all set up and into the studio here, we're going to play our good friend Blake MacGyver's song, It Gets Better, that is just perfect about just like the It Gets Better project. Blake wrote this song a couple years ago about bullying, and it really does get better. So we're going to be back in just a couple of moments with the fantastic Paul Richmond.
I see a child without a friend. I see a soul who thinks that it's the end. A broken will's the hardest thing to
that's a fantastic Blake MacIver off his album Time Manipulator with It Gets Better. And it really does. I'm so excited. Kevin and I are so excited to have our first guest on today. Paul Richman is not only an internationally recognized visual artist and activist, but his artwork has become a vehicle for exploring and understanding his own journey, as well as developing a dialogue between other members of our LGBTQ community. His work seeks to challenge social constructs that exist around sexual orientation and gender roles. His career has included exhibitions and galleries throughout the United States, as well as numerous publications in art journals and anthologies. His work is collected by individuals from everyone around the globe, and he is co-founder of the You Will Rise Project, an organization that empowers those who have experienced bullying to speak out creatively through language, visual, and performing arts. Please welcome to the show for Kevin and I, the fantastic Paul Richman. Paul, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Wow, this is exciting.
We are excited to have you on, my friend.
I don't think I have anything left to say, though, after that introduction.
Hey, it's really our pleasure. I mean, you have a very busy week this week, which we'll talk about. You got an art exhibit going out in Indiana that we want to talk about. But just your story is so fascinating. Let's start out. Tell a little bit about your background. You're actually from, I believe, my home state of Ohio here. Talk about your growing up and your background and what brought you into art.
Sure. So for as long as I can remember, I mean, you know, even before I can remember, I would just wake up in the morning at 2-3 years old, go out to the dining room table and start drawing. And my parents tell me that I would go through about 200 to 300 drawings a day. They were both kind of baffled by this because neither of them are artists or really, you know, very interested in the arts in that way. You know, my dad works for the railroad and my mom works for a mortgage company. So, you know, they're more focused on practical things, and to have this kid that wanted to do nothing but draw. But they were very supportive. My mom would bring home stacks of that old computer paper from her office, you know, the kind with the holes on the side where it was all connected.
Yeah.
All the scrap paper, and I would go through that and do drawings and stuff. And so by the time I was about 3.5 years old, and they knew that this was something that was obviously important to me. And after talking with a neighbor who was in a local art class, they actually reached out to her teacher and got me connected with this awesome local painter named Linda Regula, who took me under her wing. I wasn't even 4 yet, but I started going to her studio once a week for painting lessons. And it was just such a perfect hearing. Linda knew exactly how to, you know, teach someone that age, even though she never had worked with a student that young before, but she just made it very interesting. It wasn't just about, you know, here's a bowl of fruit, draw this. It was much more focused on kind of inspiring me to think about the creative process and to tell stories, and just made it very fun and engaging and all the things that art is supposed to be. And you know, that's still what drives me to make art to this day. So, I don't remember a whole lot from being 3 and 4 years old, but I can certainly remember going into her studio and just being surrounded by all of her big, colorful, amazing paintings and just kind of knowing somehow that this was what I was supposed to do. That kind of stuck with me. I actually continued taking lessons from her all throughout my childhood, and she helped me get a portfolio together so that I could apply to art school, and now painting is my career. So it started early, and I've never really had a backup plan. That's what I always kind of knew that I wanted to do, and I'm glad that it's working out.
Hey, can I just interrupt and give an ad here, or a little, especially for our listeners? If you go to the You Will Rise page on the You Will Rise project, mm-hmm. and click on About. I love, by the way, Paul, the picture from 1984 with you and Linda, and then more recently, you and I think that is because I had read that, and I think that is it even says there she was a bit reluctant at first, and the fact you guys forged that relationship through all that is just wonderful. But the pictures tell the story as well. So for our listeners, go check that out.
It's a really, I think it really says a lot about the power of mentorship, you know, and we do have such an unusual friendship and relationship that's lasted all these years. She was such an important role model for me when I was growing up. And now, you know, we're still very close. We're very good friends, and we partnered together to start the You Will Rise project. I think it was about 4 years ago now, because I really wanted to find a way to share with other kids, you know, what she had instilled in me. I began experiencing a lot of bullying in school. Around fourth and fifth grade was when it really started.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think the main one was that, you know, people were picking up on the fact that I was gay, or, you know, different, mm-hmm. at least, if gay wasn't a term that they were familiar with. But I was more feminine than any of the other guys in my class. And I was also really tall. So mm-hmm. whenever I walked into the room, it was like an adult had walked in. And so there was no blending in. You know, I was just
right.
a giant gay, you know. Like everyone, there was no hiding. So, but I started to really feel self-conscious and bad about myself. And the kids were, you know, really cruel, and I dreaded going to school.
I'm so sorry.
But when I look back on that, you know, I was still going to Linda's class once a week. And that was a time when she started to really help me channel a lot of those feelings into painting. And, you know, she basically said, you know, I would go, and it wasn't something that I was really comfortable talking about, because for one thing, my family was Catholic. I went to a Catholic school. So being bullied because
me too.
Kids were
me
picking
too.
Up on the fact that you do. Yep.
Oh yeah. I'm from Boston. So I get this
okay.
story. So I get the narrative. Absolutely. I went from the nuns
you know,
to
there
the
are
Jesuits.
A lot of people, I think everybody has their own version, but yes, there's a lot of similarities in people's stories with this kind of stuff.
I'm from the town where Spotlight
was
happened, remember. I'm from the town where Spotlight happened. Not to bring up another story, but I'm from where it happened. I lived through that.
Sure.
So there you go.
Yes, absolutely. That's actually one of the really cool things about the You Will Rise Project, not to jump ahead, but it's a way for people who often feel like they're the only ones who are going through something to connect
right.
with other people and realize, you know, this is not an individual experience that nobody else has had. There, lots of
right.
people are going through this. You're not alone. But at the time, you know, there was no internet. There was no Glee.
No.
I felt like I was alone. So
right.
Thankfully, I had Linda's class and her in a creative outlet, because she helped me channel all those feelings into art, and
yeah.
that really made a difference. That was
hey,
that
well,
was
we're right
what
here.
I think got me through.
While we're right here, I'm curious, because according to the page again and the research I did, it says Linda was also a victim of bullying. And I'm just curious, while you guys were developing this relationship, when did
yeah.
that come out? Because how interesting that she was there for you, and now
mm-hmm.
later the two of you as survivor. I'm a survivor of stigma myself. That's where the Healing Stigma
yes.
program comes from. But I'm curious, how did you find that out?
Yeah, it was in a really fascinating way. I grew up being surrounded by her paintings, which were, like I said, large and vibrant and colorful. And at first, that was what I responded to about them. But then as I started to get a little bit older and have, you know, better understanding of things, I started to kind of try and read into them more. And it was around the same time when I was going through the bullying myself that I started to ask Linda more questions about the symbolism and the meaning, you know, behind some of her paintings. And she started to share with me stories about her own childhood. She uses her art in really the same way to kind of express a lot of
right.
what she had gone through. And she grew up in the mountains in a small shack, and her mother abandoned the family, and her dad was really abusive. So she was bullied at school for being poor and motherless, and just all, you know, she had a horrible childhood. And
wow.
She didn't have an art teacher or nobody to like encourage her in that way. She didn't really take up art until she was an adult, but I think that there was just something about that pain that she went through, even though, you know,
right.
mine was very different, but it was just another way for us to connect, and seeing how she kind of overcame that through art really inspired me to want to do the same. And the very first painting that I did, actually kind of in that vein, I think was around the time that I was 12 or 13, and she kind of helped me figure out how to use images to tell a story. And so that painting was called The Piece That Doesn't Fit, and it's a painting of a puzzle, and I painted sort of like stick figure representations of my classmates all throughout the puzzle, but then there's one piece of the puzzle missing, and then floating down at the bottom there's a puzzle piece, but it doesn't fit in the hole that's allotted for it. And so I painted my my own portrait in that one. And it really opened my eyes to how, you know, it doesn't solve the problem, but it helps you get it out. And when you're not able to talk to people about it because maybe, you know, you feel ashamed, or in my case, you know, I was being called gay and faggot and everything.
Right.
And, you know, being
right.
Catholic, that wasn't something I was comfortable telling my parents about. So
right.
It gave me a way to release that. Otherwise, you know, you carry it around, and I can certainly understand how so many kids end up hurting themselves and committing suicide. And so that's really what UWRISE is hoping to try and help prevent.
And can I just stop everybody right here for our listeners to understand this? This is why we do the program. What Paul found, and through this friendship, I'm sorry to put words, but Paul didn't know where this was going. You were already taking lessons, right, before the bullying even started. So for everyone out there, you may not know what your expression is going to be when something like stigma chips away and tries to label you and take away your identity. But expression is a great way of finding your full identity and getting that back. And it's a great way of finding your community. And you don't necessarily have to know what it is you're going to make. Paul didn't wake up and know and have this whole understanding of what a portfolio was going to look like for the war paint exhibit. I didn't know what it was going to be like to have a full debut collection of poetry. But expressing yourself is so important. Don't carry that around inside. Don't hurt yourself. Reach out and get help. That's what Healing Stigma is about. That's what the program is about. That's what these things are about. And there's a lot more of them, as you said, now we can find out about because of the Internet. Thank goodness. So sorry for the interruption in the commercial, but that's
great.
Why we do it.
Oh, of course. That's the best thing. And like I said, that's our biggest strength and our biggest lament of this show, and Paul brings it up so beautifully, is this entire show is about stigma itself, and it doesn't just hold itself to our LGBT community or anyone, as his mentor had. These shows are all about the stigma that can enter anyone's lives and hopefully getting through that through expression. And I'm so excited to see how it shows across lines how things can help, like art in this project that you have going. So it's just really part of what we're doing here. So it's so exciting to be a part of.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. It's great that, you know, people are talking about this because it's an important topic.
Hey, who is the You Will Rise project for right now? If someone is feeling they're bullied and they just want to, you know, look at what would you say for that young person out there?
So basically we started the project with the idea that it's for anyone who has experienced bullying in any way. And it's not just for LGBT people, but we certainly have a lot of LGBT people who get involved, but it's really for anyone. And we have a lot of young people, teenagers, you know, middle school age people, but we have adults who submit work and get involved. And the project is really for anybody who wants to say something about their experiences. So what we do is we encourage people to create a piece of art, and it's completely uncensored. You can put anything into this that you want. And that's especially important to us because one of the things that we discovered when we were first kind of looking into doing this project is that there are a lot of anti-bullying initiatives and different projects and things that are going on, and it's all good. I mean, it's great that people are talking about this, but we just encountered a lot of money being raised and used in ways that we didn't necessarily agree with. So one example would be there was this poster contest, and there was a government grant that was being awarded to produce anti-bullying posters for schools, and Linda actually submitted a piece to it that was, you know, pretty intense and really captured what the experience is like. And she got a letter back saying that they didn't choose it because they were worried that people might be offended because it was a little too strong or something.
Right.
And so the poster that they ended up using, which was, you know, they spent thousands and thousands of dollars to distribute this in schools, and it was a photograph of daffodils, and in a pretty script font underneath it, it said, "Please don't bully." And so Linda and I both looked at that and we said, you know, kids, this is not going to reach kids. We need to give them the voice and let them be the ones to honestly say what is happening. So, you know, people can create anything, and it's not just visual art. It can be, you know, writing, poetry. And we have people send music. Yep, there you go. You can send us something. But music, performance art, you know, anything, because it's all
That's
expression
great.
And it's about getting those feelings out. And so we publish them, we share them through social media, and it's become a great way for people to connect with each other, like we said, and kind of realize they're not alone, and also just
right.
to become a part of that community. And we've, in addition to the website, we do a lot of projects in the community. We do workshops, and we do special like art installations. Last year, I got to, with another member of the team, we went to Cornell University and spent a week and did a giant art installation out of 7,000 Post-it notes that the students had written labels on that they had been
wow.
called, and we turned it into a big mural using the different colors of the Post-it notes. It actually formed portraits of their faces all along this giant wall on campus.
Oh, amazing.
So,
amazing.
You know, we try and find different ways to use art to get the message across to whatever the audience is. So it's been a great.
Well, let's take
great
a quick
project.
Second here while we're talking and. You need to go to the website, of course, first, which is youwillriseproject.com. But there's an excellent
uh-huh.
video kind of talking a little bit about it, and I think we should hear from the kids' point of view. I kind of downloaded that video. We won't be able to see
awesome.
It. You can see it on the website. But let's take a couple
mm-hmm.
seconds to listen to how this is really helping the kids here, okay? So this is actual talking about the You Will Rise project from Paul and his co-founder and some of the participants that are actually in it. Here we go.
I feel like everybody that's been bullied and have pulled through it and are now in a better place is just kind of like a positive outlet for people you don't even know.
You Will Rise Project is a website at youwillriseproject.com. Anybody can submit artwork, short stories, poetry, any kind of creative works about their experiences with bullying.
Ever since I was little, I wanted to make a difference. And with my experience with bullying, I was like, art and bullying. So excited.
A lot of times kids do tell people, but no one does anything. And when we allow them to speak in a creative voice, they speak plainer and louder than they could just talking about it.
It really helps getting out the emotions I have built up towards it.
I didn't really like to do a lot of art before I was part of the project, and then I realized how much I like to paint and stuff. My favorite piece is obviously my shoes I made. I made these shoes that had like silver like rhinestones on them, and they light up purple when you turn them on. And it kind of just like resembled how I can just like walk over people who try to bring me down, and I can just shine through like the hard times, I guess.
Visual art, poetry, short stories, videos, animation, music, songwriting. We encourage people to do whatever they want.
Yeah. I never really thought of myself as a visual artist, so I got to like write my own monologue and do some photography. I think that's what really got me really excited.
So if you're being bullied, just know that you are not alone. You're not the first person to go through this. There are people who care about what you have to say. And we encourage you to get in touch with the You Will Rise Project, look at the work that other people are making, send us your own, and just become a part of our community, because people really do care.
How exciting is that? That's just so great to hear from the kids.
Yes, and that's really what it's all about, because, you know, we feel that bullying is not something that an adult alone is going to be able to solve. And you know, not that there even is an easy answer. It would have been solved already. And this project is all about hearing from them and giving them the space to say what they need to say. And it's always so inspiring and so powerful when we do these workshops, which are always free. Nobody ever has to pay to participate. We, you know, get donations and things to buy art supplies, and everybody on the team is a volunteer. So all the to apply and come to the workshops, so often what happens on that first day, they will sit at the furthest, you know, corners of the room from each other and often like kind of hide their eyes. And you can just tell these are kids who have been conditioned to be afraid of social situations.
Right.
And and I can so relate to that. I can so remember feeling that same way. And I think that for these kids now, it's even worse because their bullying continues all throughout the evening and weekends thanks to social media and the internet, which was not the case for me. At least the bullying ended at the end of the school day. So it's
such
it's
an important
intense.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah. And these kids, a lot of them have had suicide attempts. They, you know, some of them cut themselves, and you can just see all that pain. And when we start off the project, the workshop, we kind of gather everybody in the middle and we put down a big, usually like a big piece of wood or a big, huge canvas on the floor. And we give them all a different color and just have them start like splattering paint onto it and making like their handprints or doing, you know, they can use brush or whatever. But it, we don't start off by trying to say, let's talk about bullying, because nobody really wants to do that. That doesn't sound, that doesn't even sound fun to me, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We say, let's make art. And then pretty soon what happens, it just naturally comes out because it's the shared experience of these kids, and they already know that that's kind of why they're there. So we let them really take the lead. We have some different, you know, types of group projects that they can work on together, but they can also choose to spend some time making their own individual pieces. And then we always conclude every workshop with an exhibit of everybody's work that is open to the public, and we invite people from that community to come and see the work, because that's a really important piece of it too.
That's brilliant.
You know, it is about the healing for the kids who are there, but it's also eye-opening and educational for the public to realize, you know, this is what these kids are going through, and they need us to do more. I think so many people still have that idea that, you know, kids are going to be kids and bullying just makes you tougher or something. You know, I hear all of this, but a lot of adults don't realize the intensity of what is really going on today. So it's kind of a useful tool in that way as well.
Do you find there's less, I'm just curious, and this is just totally butting in, but Paul, you're up mm-hmm. against the arts getting less funding in schools. I was a longtime English teacher, and it's one of the things that always gutted me when I saw the ability of music and the arts to do less for kids that were oftentimes, as you said, this is where they would shine. You know, there were the kids that would shine on the football field. There were kids that would shine on the basketball court. And I was a scholarship athlete, thank God, to get through college.
Yeah.
But for me, as an English major, oftentimes I was also, as a writer, as a poet, I was definitely the outsider and the loner, where others were not, where the, you know, let's say everyone else was going at that moment. And I'm just curious, does this help? Do you feel frustrated by it? What is the state right now of arts in the schools?
Well, and you know, I think that it varies so widely depending on the school system and, you know, what area of town you're in. I mean, there's such disparities. You have, you know, we've gone into some high schools and it's kind of like it's almost equivalent to the level of, you know, art supplies and technologies that you would find at a college level. And then you go into another school and they have like nothing, or maybe not even an art room. So that's one of the things that it's really helped us be more aware of, is that, you know, there are just some kids who don't have access to really anything. And that's tragic. And I mean, even in my own experience, I had art classes in schools, but if that had been all that I had, I don't know that I would have had the same type of path.
Right.
I might have, you know, veered a different way because it was really the outside.
Hey, but there's one other point here there's one other point here for our listeners, and that is, and Paul, you said it, which is you're still going into all these schools. So bullying is happening regardless mm-hmm. of, you know, how much tuition is paid. As you said, there isn't a solution here. There's a way forward. I definitely believe mm-hmm. there is a way forward to heal from bullying, to stop it, to fight it. But for those that are being bullied, for those that are being stigmatized, this is something very important. I believe it happens across, regardless of financial backgrounds. It's something society does, and we need to address that at all levels, but especially for those that don't have the art classes. What you must see some wonderful as well blossoming, I guess, especially when you look at something like an exhibit at the end in a community that, you know, that must go a long way. Do you have any special one that you remember?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's been so many. There's like two that I'll just tell you about briefly. We did one at the big museum here in Columbus, And we invited, like always, we send out information to all the schools that we can access and reach out to different teachers, and especially like in areas where we know that they could really benefit from this. So, and it's, and like I said, it's always free. And most of the kids that came had never even, you know, been to the art museum before. They didn't even know that it existed. And so we walked around on the first day and showed them, you know, paintings by famous artists and things that they had maybe seen, you know, on TV or in, on the internet. And they just were,
you were the gateway drug. You were the gateway drug. How wonderful.
It was. And then when we told them, now here's the gallery where at the end of this, you know, 4 weeks, this is where your work is going to hang. They were floored. And so that was incredible. And but I mean, you know, we'll do things like on that kind of scale, but then we also really love doing like small community oriented things. We went out to a very small library outside of Pittsburgh a year or so ago, and they had just invited us to come. It was this really small town, and so, you know, we thought that would be great. And so we went, and there were six kids from the area who signed up to participate, and we did it over a weekend, so it was 3 days. And the first day, we had the six kids, and they started working, and we got them involved in the same way we always do. And they began texting and Facebooking their friends. By the end of it, by the third day, there were 17 kids from that area who had all come and joined us. So, you know, it's things like that, too. It's the big stuff, and it's also the little stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
they were the brave
really
ones, and then they were able. Yeah, they were the brave ones, and they were able to reach out and get others there to join that. That's so brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very touching.
And it's cool to see that you can make an impact like that. And also too, what kind of boggles my mind is all of the comments and things that we hear back from kids who have been affected by this project that we haven't actually had the chance to work with in person, but just people who have, you know, gotten involved online. There was a girl, I believe, from Italy who sent us a photo. She got our logo tattooed on her arm because she said that our project saved her life. And it was someone who we'd never met. And we, you know, we had worked with her online. But, yeah, it was very powerful. And we've had kids write to us and say that the project has inspired them to go into art therapy or, you know, help them to understand that what a difference this type of work can make. And they've started, you know, changing their career goals because of what they've seen. So any way you can make an impact, you know, that just makes us feel great. And that makes me feel like we're really carrying forward what Linda started with me 30 some years ago. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things that I'm excited about when I look at it is, like you said, you are based out of Columbus and you do a lot of stuff there, but this is honestly with some of your projects, like I was looking over the website and you have this current Courage project about Make a Feather, Make a Difference. And this makes it truly not even national, but international, thanks to the internet.
Yes.
And talk about this Courage project, because I think this is fantastic that we can have people that may not even be anywhere near Columbus, Ohio, but can come to this website and be able to participate in their own art and have it be part of an art project that you guys have put together. Can you talk about the Courage project just a second for
me? Sure. So our logo for You Will Rise is a phoenix, and, you know, obviously the idea of you will rise, rising up, the phoenix, it's a logical symbol, but it also has a little bit of a deeper significance to us. Linda always tells a story from when she was a kid. She went to a one-room schoolhouse, and the teacher would tell them a story each week and have everybody draw a picture. And she had never really been praised for anything, but the teacher read the story of the phoenix and had everybody draw it. And the teacher made a big deal about Linda's drawing and put it up on the board and said it was the best. And so she felt a type of pride that she had never felt before. But then as soon as the teacher left the room, this boy that always bullied her went up to the wall and tore down the drawing and ripped it up and said, "You're too stupid to ever be an artist." And just, you know, made her feel horrible about it. And all these little, you know, crumbled up pieces of the paper kind of fell to the floor. And she didn't draw again for years, she said. So, but then she went on to become a very successful artist as an adult. So, you know, in her own way, she rose above that experience. But the idea of the Courage Project is we have a template on our website of a feather. It's just a black outline. And we ask people to print it out and to draw on it or collage or color or whatever, something that represents the idea of courage to them, and then mail it to us. And we are collecting all of these, and we're going to make a giant sculpture of a phoenix that will you know, have all these thousands and thousands of feathers hanging from it. And we have. We've gotten feathers from all around the world. We've had a lot of class, like teachers will do this with their classes, and it's a good way to open up a conversation about, you know, bullying and other, you know, other issues. And it's really awesome. It's great. We have boxes of these coming in, so that's pretty awesome. We do a lot of
And you can see pictures of them on the website. The pictures are beautiful, by the way, already.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's fun. We like to do these kind of side things because they always lead people into the main project. We do every Tuesday, we do Doodle Tuesday, which is just a fun post, doodle something, anything. It doesn't have to be about bullying, and post it online with the hashtag Doodle Tuesday, and we share them, because one of the things we found, especially in some of the schools where they don't have great art programs, is that kids feel too intimidated to submit a piece of art because they feel like they're not good enough yet or something. So we say, maybe if you're not feeling confident enough to make like a painting, everybody can doodle. So that's a way to start. And we have a lot of fun with that. Kids doodle all kinds of stuff, and we have a Facebook group for it and Instagram and stuff. So, you know, it's
and that's community.
Like that
that's community. That's building community. Yeah. So well done there. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you. We do a lot like that. It's been very powerful and very rewarding for all of us to be involved, and
that's
very
great.
Healing too in our own ways, because you can't go back in time and change your own experiences, but you can try and make it better for other people.
Hey, but Scott, do you hear that?
Exactly.
It's time to ask him about how do we build that bridge to war paint? Because from healing to war paint, I get this. The hair goes up in the back of my head now when I think of where we're going with this. So I'm gonna let you do your magic, because I just think that talking about expression, to go from this healing project to war paint as a poet, as a linguist, I just feel the courage that's going on here. So do your magic, Scott.
Oh, man. Well, I'm so excited to talk about the war paint. And just to finish up with the You Will Rise, I hope you will go check out the website. Again, it's youwillriseproject.com. They have some fantastic merchandise from people that are participating in the product that you can help support this through. And there is a donate button on there. So let's go to that. But as Kevin was saying, through the magic of radio, while everyone is listening to this, right now Paul is probably having a nice bottle of wine, and he is visiting some people as he is having his newest work of art that he's been working for a while now called War Paint. And you are right now, this very second, at the Evansville Museum of Arts in Evansville, Indiana. You got this project that's going to be displayed there from March 3rd through May 4th. But there's a special reception going on right now. Let's talk about war paint, how it started, and I love kind of the whole expression of it. Let's get into war paint a bit.
Okay. So, well, like I said, I've been painting my whole life, and I've painted lots of different things. But about 2.5 years ago, I decided that I really wanted to be a bit more expressive with my own work, and kind of, you know, not before that, everything was kind of a little tighter and more controlled and planned, and I just wanted to be more free and let the paint do its thing. So I started trying to think of a concept that would really lend itself, you know, to kind of almost forcing me to go in that direction, because it's hard to shift gears when you've been doing something for a long time. And so this idea of war paint came up, and I'm sure a lot of it, you know, was connected to what I was seeing and experiencing through the You Will Rise project. It's just the courage that normal everyday people have in order to get through whatever the battles are that they are facing. And so the idea for this series is really about sort of displaying people's inner strength or their or something about their inner selves that maybe you wouldn't see on the surface. So it's oil paintings of figures who are smearing paint either on their faces or across their bodies. And so the colors of the paint, the way that the paint is being applied, all of that, in my mind, kind of symbolizes something that is, you know, unseen about that person. Maybe it's a psychological state or something. It's kind of like they're creating an armor for themselves that actually reveals more about them. It's not a very heavy-handed meaning, though. In other words, I'm fine with everybody kind of coming to a piece and having their own interpretation. They all have stories to me, but I'm not forcing the issue. But just to give you an example, there's a piece, one of the pieces is called Transfiguration, and it's a portrait of a friend of mine who's transgender. And in talking with him, he was saying that one of the big struggles of his life that he had to overcome was the chest reconstruction surgery. So for his painting, we didn't put war paint on his face. He posed for me, and we put it on his chest. And so in his poses, he's kind of, you know, dramatically smearing this paint across his chest and scraping it off, and it represents that struggle, that battle for him. And they're all kind of like that in different ways. There's actually a piece that is a portrait of Linda and kind of addresses some of her backstory that we talked about, and she'll be coming. She'll be here at the opening. Always the supportive mentor still to this day.
How exciting. That's brilliant.
And I even did a piece that is a portrait of one of the young ladies who was a participant in one of the You Will Rise workshops. Her name's Sophia, and that piece is called Making Her Way. And she's holding her hands, her arms are crossed in front of her,
yeah.
And she has red paint on her hands. And that was from a photo that we actually took of her at the workshop, and she gave us permission to use it. But she was someone who participated in our very first workshop that we did three and a half years ago, and she stayed involved with us through all this time, and we've seen her grow so much. She had gone through such terrible bullying and had to drop out of her school and move to another area, and she was really in a bad place when we first met her. And now she is starting college and doing great, and she actually gave a TED Talk. This was a girl who was so shy. The first time we met her, she couldn't even hardly talk to us, and by the time she went off to college, she sent us a video. She did a TED Talk all about her experiences. So it was
that's great
thing that I thought, well, I've got to paint her for this show. So there's us.
How fantastic!
In total.
There's a blurb that on the site that I think encapsulates it so well that I want to make sure everyone hears, and that you kind of put down. It says, body painting has significance in many cultures and serves as a variety of purposes, from spiritual cleansing to battle preparation. I love that phrase. I think that's so true, and I think it encompasses all you're doing there. I just think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. It's evolved over time. You know, the first few pieces in the series were all kind of similar, and it was male models. It was making more of a statement that about, you know, the way that society perceives masculinity and how not everybody fits into that. But then as the series went along, I really decided I wanted to, you know, portray other people. And you know, it's about recognizing the commonalities that we all share. People don't have to look alike in order to have, you know, to be able to connect. So,
well,
it's
interesting to me. It's interesting to me that you're talking about time here over time, and then you go the opposite way, which I think is brilliant. I'd love you to talk about, for folks that are interested in this obvious time warp that we're having tonight, while you're at the opening and talking about the paintings, there's also these wonderful videos, these time-lapse videos, because I'm actually looking at the one of Sophia. And my comment with that, I'd love to know where that inspiration came, because I love watching those. But the other thing is, it's interesting for me, just to throw my two cents in, is that it's so different for your different subjects. For some, it's a very public thing, and for others, it brings out something very intimate. But the thing I love is it doesn't bring out the same thing in any two of the paintings. In every single one, there is this different subtle narrative that my eye went to right away, and that's brilliant. With this war paint is something that is very, very interesting. And again, for those out there, you have to see how it's different across these different images. What you've done is just wonderful, Paul. But the videos, where did the idea for that come from?
So I started really wanting to get more involved with YouTube, because I love watching, you know, other artists and seeing, you know, how they work and being inspired by them. And
right.
It just seemed like such, you know, I'm not shy. So, and a lot of artists are, and I figured,
right.
Well, since I'm not, I might as well take advantage of that and do this. So I, I think December, I really kind of, you know, decided to spend some time doing work on YouTube, and I partnered with World of Wonder, the production company that does RuPaul's Drag Race and a bunch of different things. And so my YouTube channel is connected through their network now, and they push out the videos to people. So I do some fun, silly stuff, you know, for that. But then I also do just a lot of these kind of time-lapse videos in my studio, or what, you know, like we'll be doing a lot of videos here at the opening of the World Paint Show and stuff. So it's a
They're
great way to share my work with people. And a lot of times I feel like the process is such an important part. And if people only get to see the end product, then they're not seeing the whole thing, because it is a process. I start each of the war paint pieces by just covering the canvas with abstract color and mostly with the palette knife to get some thick texture buildup. And I'm already at that point starting to think about the, you know, the concept or the emotions that I want it to have. So that kind of influences the colors and the marks. And then out of all that chaos, as you see in the time lapse, I'll start to sketch on the person and then and bring them out. But I leave a lot of that initial kind of chaos showing through as well, because that's a part of it. And it's true. Each one does kind of tap into something different. And that's definitely the goal, because I want it to feel like it's,
you hit
it's specific to that person or to, you know, that model, and saying something different.
Well, I think it's really courageous, because when I taught English, I always said, listen, we don't have a half finished Shakespeare play. Never mind all these other conspiracy theories. We don't really have it. We can't look over his shoulder, and we don't have a half done Vermeer. Some of the things that fascinated me the most are these masterpieces, and that it's like, here you go. Go ahead, check it out. You know, and I know we can go with camera obscure and all these other things, but I find it so courageous that you allow the lens in, and we get to see the finished product. And as you said, it starts from this, you know, multicolor, you know, sorry, it's not the right word, but like a splotch almost, you know, and then you see this thing come out of it. I think it gives such courage. One of the things I was just saying, I know it's selfless advertising here, but again, I'm not shy either. But on the opposite side, I have a video. Maybe it's something I can send it to you. You can look it up afterwards on YouTube as well. It's called A Lovelier World, and it's actually one of my poems from my first collection that was animated, and it's actually slowing down time. So you don't see that; you only see the poem one line at a time with a particular sound and an image that ties into it.
Cool.
So it's, you know what I'm saying? So you can always go and see the whole poem. The whole poem's listed on the website. There's samples. But what I've done is actually slowed it down the opposite way, and people that have looked at it, and, you know, it's just starting, just beginning. It's just recently been put up there, but it's almost like a meditation. And so I find that it's interesting that I looked at this, I'm like, oh my God, he speeds time up, and I slowed it down on this. And yet what we have is something that invites something other than what the final product is, without destroying the experience of what the final product is either. It's just another way to invite people in.
Yeah.
So hats off to you. I love it.
It becomes its own thing. It certainly does. And people get to experience it in a different way. And I'm actually, you know, totally fine with people seeing my screw ups, and if you watch the videos, you'll see where I'll paint something, and then I'll maybe go back later and paint it over again or change it a little bit. I mean, not everybody does that, you know. Nobody sits down and it's perfect the first time. So I actually like that that is captured and people can see it. And hopefully, maybe you know, some people out there might even like kind of get inspired and want to paint more themselves because of it. I did
it's a bridge
video. Of the old Bob Ross show, which it's kind of making fun of him in a way, but I love the fact that I wasn't a huge fan of his paintings, but I love that he inspired people to just, you know, get a paintbrush and do it, and, you know, maybe in my own way, this is my way to do that.
Because you have not only showing how you create your art, but it's also, you're just having some fun times with it. I love you. You and your assistant when you're doing the James Franco thing was hilarious, just the way you banter back and forth. But talk about that. What's it like to have, I mean, you're already internationally recognized, but how is it kind of fun when they come to you, like this project for to have James Franco people come to you to be an artist for their show? What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome. He was making a movie, and they needed a big painting of him for the set, one of the main, like, areas where a lot of that movie was taking place. And so, but the catch was there was only a week to do it, to do a gigantic painting. I mean, if you watch the time-lapse videos, you might think I'm pretty quick, but it does take a little longer than that. so it was a bit of a stretch to do, but and the other challenge was that there were no photos of him yet in the in his costume, because he was playing this kind of crazy character that had a lot of tattoos, and he didn't look like normal James Franco, and there were no photos yet, so – the production designer who I went to school with, that was the connection point. She was texting me photos of him that she was taking from the set so I could try and piece this all together with the different tattoos and things. It was a crazy
week. Wow.
I was so glad I did it. And then I got to the thing, and we went and delivered it to the set and got to meet him and everything. And it was awesome. The funny part was that originally what was supposed to happen is this building where the painting is hanging at the end of the movie burns down. And so they wanted to have this dramatic shot of the painting going up in flames. So they were literally going to, you know, after I spent a week of not sleeping, they were going to burn this painting. but as it turned out, he liked the painting so much that we had a workaround for that. And he actually ended up commissioning me to do a second painting, but of a different character from the show. So I got to go back to the set again.
Right.
We even got to stay and be extras in some of the scenes they were filming that night with Courtney Love and Josh Hutcherson and him. It was amazing. It was so fun. But anyway,
wow.
It was an awesome experience. I loved that.
That's brilliant. And you met your deadline. That's something else for our listeners to hear out there.
Yeah,
a working artist who met his deadline.
That's it. Well, that was art school. That was there were a lot of those deadlines in art school. Of course, I was, 10 years younger than.
I just have to throw this out there so quick, it's totally random. But Bob Ross was one of the funniest things, because when I lived in Europe for many years, it was one of the only things in English that was on around the time that I would get back in the wee hours of the morning. And so I would actually sit and write while Bob Ross would be paying. It was the only thing on in English. And after, speaking many other languages or attempting to or getting into conversations that I shouldn't have and couldn't get out of, Bob Ross was like this calm, soothing influence. And I'm just wondering, I just have to ask, did you learn from him? Was it something that, as an artist, it was just noise for me in the background that was very soothing while I would pull out a piece of paper and write. But, what was he for you?
Well, I learned how not to do my hair. I can't say that I was ever like too inspired by the art that he was making, but I definitely like the fact that he took away some of the, talking about stigma, I think that there's often a stigma connected with fine art that people feel that it's so unapproachable or that it's, it can be very elitist, and sometimes it is, I don't feel that way. I think that art should be for everyone, and everybody is capable of appreciating it and having their own opinions about it. And so, that is what I really liked and kind of respected about him. And I think he was a great, I think he was great at marketing. I mean, he did that show for years. Everyone knows. I mean, to this day, everyone knows. And he basically painted the same painting over and over.
I know. I felt like I sat in his parlor. I felt like I sat in his living room while I wrote. I just felt like he invited me over. I sat down, he painted a painting, and I wrote a poem, and then that was it. It was brilliant. But when you said that, it was just so funny. So hats off. I'm a fan as well.
This is the part of the show where I always have to become the keeper of the time clock. Kevin hates this part because it's time for me to start wrapping things up. But let's go ahead and give you the final word here, Paul. Why don't you talk a little bit about, kind of bring this full circle here. How did art really change your life and really help you deal with your bullying part, and give the best recommendation to others on just a little ways that they can start to make their life a little bit better?
Sure. Well, I think that, the most important thing is the thing that Linda always taught me from the very beginning, and the thing that makes art still so meaningful to me now, is that you have to make your art for yourself first. I know so many incredibly talented people who can easily get swayed into trying to paint or create what they think somebody else wants them to make. And, if you're in a commercial field or something, that's maybe a little different. But, if you're not being authentic, then it can easily lose you can lose sight of why you're doing it in the first place. And so I've always approached my work as though it wasn't even going to be seen by anybody else. It was, I painted what I wanted to paint and what I needed to paint and say. And then I've just been very surprised and humbled and honored by the fact that a lot of people have, said that they connect with it. And art can be such a great way of connecting with other people, but you have to come from a very real place with it, and that's what You Will Rise is all about. That's what I'm all about, and I'm just so grateful that that's what I was taught, because so many people miss that part. So many art teachers jump right into the technical stuff, or, you know, how do you make something that your parents are going to want to hang on the refrigerator? And that's not what it is. It should be, what do you want to say? What is your passion? What's your inspiration? And that's what it's all about for me.
Oh, I love that. Anything last questions for our guest here?
No, I actually want him to go have a glass of champagne for all of us right now. So I'm a huge fan. You know, here's my one question. When you have something else coming up, would you please come back? Would you consider yourself on permanent invite to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio? Because I know we only touched the surface, but I can literally hear the bubbles in the background and the glasses clinking. You got to go, my friend. This time portal can only stay open for so long.
All right. Well, yes, I would love to.
And real quick before you go, Paul, give everyone your where they can find you on social media and your website and all that fun stuff.
Sure. Yes. So my website is paulrichmondstudio.com. And on YouTube, I'm also Paul Richmond Studio. Facebook is the same. Twitter, it's Paul Richmond Art. Don't know why I switched it up there, but it's Paul Richmond Art on Twitter. And Pauly World on Instagram. But if you go to my website, PaulRichmondStudio.com, it has links to all the others. So,
well, I appreciate you being my own personal in-state artist here in beautiful Northeast Ohio. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I can't wait for us to get a cocktail ourselves here.
Thank you, Paul. Break a leg tonight. I know you will. You have a great time, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye.
And that was the fantastic Paul Richmond. Again, please check out all of his social media sites. Check out his website. PaulRichmondStudio.com has links to all his YouTube videos. I actually did a previous interview with Paul on the Left of Straight show that I'll put a link up on my website so you can go to. But what a great interview, Kevin.
Yeah, that was really fun. And what a great guy. Another great story. And I'm so happy that he's going to be doing, wonderful things where you are, but also making a splash in the internet that gets people all over the world. We were talking about the woman from Italy standing up and not succumbing to bullying.
So what's happening in your life this week? We have what's happening in the Healing Stigma organization itself? Well, you have peer-to-peer counseling still going on. What else is happening?
Well, you know, a big thing is, specifically, it's a big movement that's coming up that people may not know about outside of the bisexual community, but I just want to throw it out there, is that next month, we're doing it the whole month of March, is the Bisexual Health Awareness Month, and our guest next week is going to be the award-winning, best-selling author, Johnny Bowden, also personal friend of mine. Dr. Johnny Bowden, I've known for years, in his latest book, Smart Fat, he's going to be talking about that and a whole bunch of other things because, you know, we've had these other bits of stigma now that we've been looking at, and through this we see other things that affect people, and one of the big things is body image that we haven't spoken about yet. And so I think this next show is going to be, you know, just as interesting, just as important, and as usual, I'm sure the time's going to fly by. We're going to have to invite people back again. But in terms of the Healing Stigma program, when I spoke to Dr. Johnny Bowden about it, he gets it. He works with this all the time. Another special thing is we have the founder of the Bisexual Health Awareness Month. This is in its third year. Julia Canfield's going to be on quickly because I think it's great to hear from, you know, the voice of the founder where this is going and why we're getting, you know, hopefully the word out there to a portion of our rainbow community that oftentimes, you know, needs to take better care, needs to get better health care, needs to be able to express themselves not as someone who's being stigmatized, but as someone who is proud of who they are, what they're doing, how they're expressing themselves, but also taking care of, you know, that vessel, the body, so the artist is healthy. That's going to be really, really an exciting show.
I'm really looking forward to it. We're getting such great guests coming on. I'm so excited to have Dr. Bowden on. And we have Elio Cruz a couple weeks after that. Like we said, Margaret Cho next month. And we just have so many people now, they're emailing us to come on because it's such important work that you're doing. And I really am excited for every place we're going to be going from here.
Well, you know, it was interesting. Over the weekend, I was doing something with the art. I was fortunate enough. My book, again, my Riestrad, it's hard to pronounce, but short Riestrad, is also something that has been getting people to open their eyes about expression. And over the weekend, I was interviewed by masspoetry.org. And the book is featured featured. We're going to have a biography up there that in an interview. But this is such a big thing in the sense that, you know, be it poetry, that's my game, be it art, be it music, Broadway lyricists, there are ways to get this out there and get people to understand. And isn't it interesting, Scott, how many times it's through something that maybe, you know, entertaining or put in a way that isn't your necessary newscast on at 11. Isn't it? And these are very serious subjects that are getting across in ways that I find to be every week new, original, and interesting.
Right, exactly. And that's what I think. Like I said, everyone has their own artistic expression. I love Paul's expression through art. You have your poetry. This is actually my expression, being able to bring people. That's why I want to do this show, is I'm all about a little bit of activism, and this is my way of doing the same thing. I think all of us have an artist in them of some sort, be it through an actual visual or written art, or just what they could contribute to the conversation. So I love that.
And look, you were doing also a good in terms of your art, because I have to say this to our listeners. Scott is one of those people that just gets me to open up, and I make connections because of talking to Scott or working on the radio show throughout the week. But isn't it interesting you're also doing something for your local community? This is a local artist in your community, and yet it also has the internet effect. You know, art in your community is such a powerful, you know, in your state is such a powerful thing. Knowing where locally young people to anyone of that age can go see, take part, and learn how to express themselves is really, really important. Be able to go see it live is such a special thing. So hats off to you, Scott. Good job on finding Paul tonight. That was wonderful.
Well, I'm excited to see. He's been a good friend of the other Left of Straight show, and he's just an inspiring person to talk to. But that's going to about do it for this week's show. I hope everyone will definitely go to Kevin's website, and that is the healingstigma.com, to learn all about the programs that he has to offer. You definitely want to look into his peer-to-peer counseling. Kevin is available to travel to go to bring this program to you, which I think is amazing. I still have my Monday and Tuesday Left of Straight entertainment shows. You can check that out at www.leftofstraight.com. And then, of course, to listen to all of these great interviews, if you missed any of our Healing Stigma on Left of Straight radio shows, please go to that website, which is www.healingstigmaradio.com. And I'm just excited to keep bringing this on, Kevin. I think we're having a great, great time.
Oh, absolutely. I am interrupting my way through some of the best conversations I've ever had. I appreciate the
you
listeners.
You are a fan.
And Scott, You're the best. Keep doing what you're doing, because I tell you, on the Left of Straight show as well, the conversations you're having are really brilliant. So hats off to you, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure talking to you. That does it for another episode. Please join us next Thursday, March 10th, right here at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, on www.blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight. For Healing Stigma on the Left of Straight show. That's our show for today. You guys have a great week, and we're out of here.